Let's open this morning from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Would you please stand and join me in prayer? Father, we do thank you, and we trust you, Lord, because our trust does need to be in you, Lord. The first place we turn whenever we have a challenge should be to you, Lord. Originally, my thought was to ask us to leave our troubles outside the door, but that's not true. We need to bring those troubles in. We need to bring those troubles to you and lay them at the foot of the cross, knowing that trusting in you is better than trusting in princes, better than trusting in our power, our resources, our money, our friends, anything else that's of this world. Father, I ask that you bless this congregation, bless this time of worship. Let us acknowledge you for the God that you are. Let our praises rise like a worthy scent to heaven. And we ask this in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. We're here to bring the sacrifice of praise this morning. Isn't that right? That's what Scripture says that we need to do. So that's what we're going to sing about it this morning. But we need some hands clapping, that's for sure. We'll get warmed up. How about that? How about that? There we go.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house.
I don't know. I think they were doing all right, but I think they can do better. How about that? So let's do it a little bit louder with a real sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Lord. There we go.
We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
crown, for my reward is giving glory to you.
Oh Lord, please light my fire.
Oh Lord, please light my fire, that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love.
Just pray right now to the Lord, just inviting Him into your life, worshiping Him right now in your own words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. For you, and I. Desperate for you this morning. Father God, I pray that you will touch our hearts. You will convict our hearts. You will renew our spirit. You will renew the joy of the Lord, that it would be in our, that it would be our strength. Your joy is our strength. Father God, we are nothing without you. Forgive us for taking you for granted, Lord God. Oh, we take you for granted so often. This is not just a Sunday thing. This is a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing, and Sunday. In Jesus' name, you are holy, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated.
Everybody, I don't have my mic on yet. I was kind of lost in the worship. So forgive me. Just talk amongst yourselves.
So we're waiting for Diane to get here. Oh, she's here. Okay, now we can start. Okay, fantastic. All right, well, before we do anything, okay, we got this really nice, amazing, beautiful, comfy couch, right? And nobody's, so I'm just going to lay down and we'll just talk, okay? No, we're going to, yeah, that's the hot seat. So you're really spiritual, no. Okay, so what we're going to do, there is a new movie that's come out, and Joel, I saw Joel, you're here somewhere. Joel, name of the movie?
Unplanned.
I don't know if Neely and her family are here, if they're working in the with the youth. Neely, you, Soph, do you have that microphone, sweetie? You're amazing. Would you give that microphone to Neely? She doesn't know she's going to use the microphone, but she is in just a second. You saw the movie Unplanned.
Yeah.
Okay, you did too? Okay. Can you just, would you recommend it, not recommend it as a Christian? I mean, I know it's playing at the Bradenton Theater right down the way, the Bradenton 20. Mm-hmm. So then I'll let Anthony, go ahead if you want to see.
I definitely recommend it. I think the whole world needs to see this movie. It's based on a true story. This woman... she's got a great ministry now, but it's her life. Abby Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood rated it R, probably because they didn't want young people to go watch it by themselves, or just the agenda to keep people from watching it. But there are two scenes that are pretty heavy as far as abortions. Very graphic. You need to take tissue with you. You're going to cry, man or woman. Definitely be prayerful about if you want to take young kids, because the two very graphic scenes, they shake you to your core. It's a reality, abortion is, and I recommend it because it'll open your eyes. I don't know how in depth and everyone follows the abortion industry and what's going on in America and the world. This movie will definitely open your eyes a little bit more.
Did you take the teens too?
I took my daughter with me.
And did she? Yes.
Yes.
Would you give it also thumbs? Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Definitely recommend. Bring friends with you.
Okay.
This needs to go out. They were expecting to make $3 million in opening weekend. They made $6 million.
Praise the Lord.
And
yes.
Then all these other theaters that decided not to open it opening weekend, now they regret it, and they've opened it now in more theaters. I recommend that you do watch it. This is something that we should support with our finances.
Anthony, you wanted to say something too, so would you bring him the mic? I also want to let you know, yeah, apparently Yahoo said surprise movie of the season, and it was this, they didn't mention, but Abby worked for Plant Parenthood, and she was a director there, and she helped provide 22,000 abortions, and then she found forgiveness in the Lord, and she realized, she started to see some of this for herself, and God just totally did an incredible work in her heart, and now she ministers to women. And so I just want, we're going to play a clip after Anthony speaks, but even on Twitter, Twitter suspended it twice, and then the account, even the people who were, the movie was about, then they deleted the followers. When it first came out, in the first hour, there was like 10,000 followers or 8,000 followers. They deleted it. And then over the weekend, right, there was like 100,000 or 200,000. They suspended it again, deleted it again. All 200,000 followers, deleted again. And now it's like, it was like stuck at like 16,000 followers. But you know what? Don't even worry about that. You go and focus. If you want to see that movie, go see it. We would encourage you to do so. We're going to play a clip. Anthony, you saw it as well, so I want to hear.
I did, and like you know, seeing long lines that that Neely was saying too, extremely powerful. It was gut wrenching for me, and I thought I could handle pretty things, you know, and it just like I was totally stunned in a couple situations. You know, you think you understand what abortion is, you think you understand what it's like. Not till you really see it the way they portrayed it and how graphic it is and where it really hits you.
Yes.
And what got to me too is the amount of corruption Planned Parenthood is, you know, and how powerful of a company they are, you know, to do all the things that they're doing with showing the movie and what you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, so I would definitely recommend everybody seeing it, you know.
Okay.
And not just to the girls, but, man, if you got boys, too, have them see it. Because I think, and I guess from a guy's point of view, when young kids are going through those situations, I think if more young men see it, they won't be so apt to hurry up and push the girl to go get something like this done. You know what I'm saying? To kind of brush under the rug kind of a thing when they understand it a little bit further.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, honey.
Okay, so would it be appropriate for my younger kids to think or
follow? How old, Neely? Sorry, yes.
She took her 9-year-old.
Okay.
She took her 9-year-old and just, you know, like, preached to them before the movie.
Kind of prepare them.
If you need to know what scenes they are, I can let you know so that you could be ready to tell them to cover their eyes if they need to.
Yeah.
Just two scenes.
Can we show a clip, George? Do you have that up? Do you mind us watching that before we even get started this morning? Do you? Okay, yeah, go for it. Thank you, brother.
Abby Johnson is in the other room.
Here.
Our first order of business is to present Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award. Abby Johnson.
There's a fire inside. This is Abby. She's our newest volunteer escort. Abby, this is Cheryl D'Alessandro.
I'd be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
You'll actually be in charge of the abortions at your clinic?
I have a chance to make a real difference.
No matter what you do for the rest of your life, you're still going to be a baby killer.
The only thing that's changed is you, Abby. Can you even hear yourself talk right now about these procedures? These are little babies.
I'm not going to apologize for doing a job that helps women in crisis.
There's still a part of me that isn't sure.
I know. But the one thing that all experts agree on is that at this stage, the fetus can't feel anything.
Sorry to bother you, but they need an extra person in the back room. Are you free?
Souls of these hundreds of children. And Lord, we pray to end abortion.
I really appreciate what you've done for us. I'll not forget it.
22,000 abortions. How do I even comprehend that?
Rough day at the office.
You say that.
You're making a mess.
Your dad and me, you are our baby from the moment of conception.
We are paying you to be a perfect instrument of corporate policy. We are an abortion provider.
I can't be part of this anymore. Everything that they told us is a lie.
Don't underestimate the repercussions of this. You gotta be careful.
Rhonda, please don't do this.
me tell you what's going to happen if you walk through that door.
Congratulations. You make an enemy of one of the most powerful organizations on the planet.
That's the one that she helped provide, right? And so for you guys who didn't notice, when they asked her to go back in that room, and she said they'd always told her that, you know, the babies don't feel anything. And then when she saw the ultrasound, when they were providing that abort, that she saw the baby cringing and fighting and running away for its life, you actually saw that. And she realized that everything she's been told is wrong and is a lie. And so powerful, powerful film. How long it'll be out, I don't know. But I would encourage you to go. Remember, it's a Christian company who's made this movie. You can see it at the Bradenton 20 Theater, I know, also in Sarasota. But is it Unplanned? Is that was it? Okay. Yes. Is there anything else? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Bring the microphone to that young man over there.
I would wait to tell you guys this, but I think at Easter it's too late. They're also 40 Days for Life. I think the guy that you saw in the movie that represented the pro-life side,
yeah.
I think he's the one that started this, but it's 40 Days for Life, and you can go to Planned Parenthood right now and pray. They're asking people to sign up, and they have openings. I have a number that you can call, and, you know, if you want to go. And anyway, it's been very effective in
that's awesome.
This fight.
So we can see you if they need that number.
Yes.
Yes. And then if for whatever reason you really want to see this movie and you are unable, if you bring us the receipt, we will reimburse you if you just can't afford it. Because we want to help support you and support them. And so, of course, you'll bring that receipt to Gary, and then Gary will pummel me later. But we love you, and we want to encourage you in everything that's good and godly. And so, yes, Ma.
There's a part of me that, we don't talk about, and we don't see the support, whatever you want to call it, that happens to these babies who are not wanted. Mm-hmm. Okay, either by their, you know, their birth mother, adoptive parents, whatever you want to call it. We do a horrible job in this country taking care of children that need to be taken care of. Yeah. And I think we need to step up.
Agreed. Yeah,
you know,
I think
there are a number of people in this in this congregation that have adopted children. I have five. I mean, what would happen to them if we hadn't stepped up?
Yes. Well, I think,
and I'm not saying that I'm any angel. That's not the point. The point is that, and I get kind of angry about people talking about Planned Parenthood. At one time, that was the one place that somebody could go and get some honest counseling.
That's right.
As to what the effects are, might be with reference to having an abortion, or what avenues you had with reference to keeping the child. And we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Now, we have another lady here in the congregation that does provide that kind of counseling.
Yeah. Well, I think, thank you. Yeah, and thank you. And so, you know, I think also just for, there's also some YouTube videos, and unfortunately, you know, what's being done now, and I don't know what it was like then, but basically harvesting, it's pretty terrible. I hate to even talk about it because there's children in here, but harvesting and selling the body parts, how much brain would go for, how much a leg, arm. It will blow your mind. And so I'd encourage everybody to go see that movie and then to realize kind of what's going on. But also, I think in light of what Miriam's saying too, take another look to see how else you can help. You know, are there other families? Are there other kids that are in need? Because there's a whole other side to that. And there's a lot of folks, a lot of kids that are in need and that do need help. And we can help them. If not us, who's going to do that? So I just want to encourage you in that. Now, we've got a few things to go over really quickly in announcements, and then we're going to get in the Word and communion because we've got both. Oops, that's new. Okay, so again, we have free Panera Bread back there. We literally have hundreds of loaves and bagels. Take them home with you. They're free in Jesus' name. You guys know the tithes and offerings. We don't take one up. We don't want anybody to feel manipulated into giving. You guys should give. You give on your own, whatever God puts on your heart. There's a little bird box in the back hallway. That's where you give, and you give in Jesus' name. I'm going to wait for that one. Now, does anybody know what this is? Can you tell? That's a baby panda. And so I made sure I wouldn't bring them up here, but we're expecting another baby in the Josh and Amanda Panda family. Woo! So pretty amazing. I keep recommending the name Darren or Darina. No one goes with it. I personally, they're my favorites. Personally, but if you would just please pray for them and that God would just continue to bless them and protect them and just all that's and come provide for them, if you would do that, that's really wonderful. And so we just want to increase the size of the church, and this is another way to do it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, just to encourage you, Child Evangelism Fellowship, most of the kids, they're in Sarasota, Manatee County, they're in 16 schools. Most of them public schools in Sarasota. It's an amazing thing that God's doing, and we had a little banquet. Most of the children that serve, we're training up a lot of the teens, and all of the teens that are serving, they're going to be doing vacation Bible studies throughout the summer. Almost last year was all the teens came from either our church or our school. And they were trained, and they went and did vacation Bible studies at different churches, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing thing. Well, they had a fundraiser, and it was kind of funny. Not all of our kids could go. I even know our kids had to watch our littler kids for us. But they raised $30,000, which was incredible. But I noticed that almost all the kids that were serving there, and they're reaching, I don't know, hundreds, thousands for Christ, even in our area. All the kids, I shouldn't say all, most of the kids were serving there were our kids. And I was just like so proud of them. They were serving meals. They were collecting plates. They were handing out stuff. I was just so proud of them. It was a wonderful thing to see. And so I just want to encourage you, continue to pray for them. I think Sherry Barr is going to be on the board of the school soon. A couple things, if you're interested, there's a couple of concerts coming up. May 5th is Mercy Me Imagine Tour with Crowder. And that's, you can get more information at the Joy FM, Joy 88.1. And that's May 5th is coming up. And then also Hillsong United, that's May 11th in Tampa. And you can get more information at the Joy FM. And you're going to have to find your own money for that. We can't afford that. Okay. So some folks have been asking what's up with the next few Sundays. And so here it is in a nutshell, so that the dates don't get confused. Gary, you can make sure that I don't get confused. Next Sunday is our picnic. Is that correct? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to dress comfy. I know. You're like, what? For some folks, like, he's wearing jeans. I'm so offended. But you're going to dress whatever makes you comfy. T-shirt, shorts, you're going to come. We're going to have service outside. We're going to have a bunch of chairs. Bring a lawn chair. Bring a blankie. We're going to have bounce houses for the kids. We're going to be cooking some... what are we cooking, Mark, on the smoker? Pulled pork. Oh, yes. I know. Hamburgers, hot dogs, and pulled pork. Yeah. Make sure you bring extra barbecue sauce. It's such a fun time. And bring sunscreen, okay? So we're going to do worship outside. And then what? Oh, yeah. And please bring sides, a side to share, you know, potato salad or a dessert to share. And then we'll all share that together. Is everybody understood? So we're going to have service outside. I think Nate's bringing the message. And so we're going to have worship and service outside. And then we'll just eat and hang out, fellowship, have fun, and all that kind of stuff. Mr. Manley, your palm is raised.
All the food will be set up in here. Okay. We're not going to sit in here, but we're going to serve out of here.
Okay.
And because of, you know, like, potato salad and stuff like that, we want to keep it
Cool. Cool. Oh, that makes sense. No buggies.
So we'll have it all set up in here and eat out there and fellowship out there and everything else.
Okay, fantastic. Yes?
Do you have a sign-up sheet so we don't all bring the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely not. That would be fantastic. No. So if we have 80,000 potato salads or if we have 80,000 cherry pies, do you know what? I'll be happy to start eating the cherry pies, and I'll take them. So just bring what you want to bring. Will we have drinks? Okay. Yeah, bring your best dish. Okay, yes, back in the back. Buddy.
I know, like, I'm a little bit
filet mignon you were going to bring, wrapped in bacon, you were saying? Fantastic. Okay.
I know I'm a little bit late to the subject.
Yes.
That's better.
Okay.
So my mom was 17 when she had me. No marriage. It could have gone either way. And I want to say to anybody who is or would ever go through that, I do not regret my life. And don't do that. Don't do it.
Yes.
You think you're helping, but you're not.
Thank you, buddy.
And my mom is so glad that I'm alive every day. Every day, I am the meaning to her life. And I know that's a hard thing to say to somebody about myself, but I am the meaning of her life. I brought more joy into her life than any other thing that she's ever had.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
Yes.
Trust me. Do it for you.
Buddy, how could we not be happy about your life? I'm right. Glad you're back, too. So that's this week, this Sunday. Thank you, buddy. That's this Sunday, okay? Don't forget lawn chairs, sunscreen, all that kind of stuff. Then the next week after that is Easter Sunday, and we're going to have a special service here. When I say special service, I really just mean a service, because they're all special. But we're going to have an Easter service. We'll give a gospel message to at the end, and that's the following Sunday. And then the Sunday after that...
Down.
Wait, oh yes, sorry, Nate, we've back to the Easter?
Well, we're going to have to make a revision to the next one, so...
What? No!
We do.
Why?
We were supposed to have the water baptism,
yes,
out at Coquina Beach.
Yes, yes.
And I set it all up that we're supposed to be out
perfect
there, but they have closed the parking area for all of Coquina Beach area.
Okay.
So we don't have access to the pavilions or anything like that.
That was not planned.
That was not planned. It was not told to you. So my apologies to
okay
Darren
right
for the next slide that is so
there's
wonderful
no
and it says
oh,
Coquina Beach.
Nice. Yes.
But it does not. So we're
okay
going to have to revise a second idea.
Fantastic.
But we're definitely going to be doing it soon or that day.
Yes.
Or
okay. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a baptism at some beach with water. Okay, and that's the week after. That'll be Sunday, April 28th, after church. And so what we're going to do is we'll come in here. We're just going to have a teaching time, and you'll come in swim shorts, T-shirts, whatever makes you comfy. And then what we're going to do is we're going to all haul out together afterwards, and we're just going to have a teaching time, and then we're going to all go out to the beach. And we've got at least 5 to 10 people now who want to get baptized. And that is amazing. Yes, you can applaud that. That's amazing. And they want to give their life to Jesus. Man, it's exciting, exciting, exciting. And so just pray that God would be continuing to prepare their hearts. Maybe God would even give you a word to pray over them while you're out there. Just pray for that. And we'll let you know what beach very soon, next Sunday, hopefully. You guys know to meet here for prayer, Sunday mornings. You got that. Ephesians, women's Bible study, second Tuesday of each month. That's this Tuesday. This Tuesday. Anything you want to say, Erica? We can give you a microphone if you want.
Ladies, come. It's a great time of fellowship and getting to know the Word of God through Ephesians. So it really is a sweet time
right
for
here
the ladies. If you're feeling lonely and you don't come, it might be a reason why. Maybe you should be here. Getting to know somebody. We pray for each other, and we have a sweet time of fellowship.
I would just encourage you guys to come here and
second book, Ephesians 2.
Ephesians chapter 2. So I would very much encourage you. Listen, if you're one of those 10 people and you're a woman, come out and get the word. Wash over you, the Bible says, with the water of the word. We want to encourage you in that. We have men's Bible studies, too, on other Tuesdays, the first and third Tuesdays.
And it's not just for old ladies.
Yes.
I mean, some of you young ones have a lot of awesome things to say and relevant insight as well. So please just know it's multi-generational. We all need each other.
That's awesome. Good word, man. Good word. No, but that's not a bad idea. Talk to me about that. Yeah, that's what. Also, we just finished up the Experiencing God course, and it was amazing. And so hopefully you experience God, people. Amazing, amazing. Hopefully we're going to be starting another course here very shortly. We'll let you know about that. But some of those folks are going to give some of their testimonies next week at the outdoor service.
And we're meeting one more Thursday.
And we are meeting this this last Thursday to celebrate. Okay, fantastic. Also, I have one quick story, and then we'll get in the Word. I'm so sorry. I know announcements took a long time today. But this is just a fun thing. Yes, Walmart. And so I don't forget, Chris's Walmart is having free food,
new grand opening on Cortez Road. Come see us. There's going to be cartoon character doctor that picture's taking with free food.
At Cortez, prizes, the Walmart at Cortez.
Prizes, everything you can imagine is going to be out there April 19th on Cortez Road. I work in the bakery. We just did a whole complete new remodel.
Okay. All right, done. Now, we just took some of the high school kids and some of the parents. What we do is we go to different universities for some of the high school kids so they can see what things are like. And so is anybody familiar with Southeastern University? Okay, so Southeastern University, there's about roughly, it's a small school. No, it's not. It's about 6,000 to 10,000 students. Okay, they've got about 100 acres. It's a monstrous Christian university. And so we took our kids up there and just to see what they're like, and a lot of the parents and a lot of the teens. So there was about 15, I think, at least 15 of us up there. And what they do is they give a tour of the place. They sit in on classes. And I had multiple parents tell me this. And this is just kind of exciting. I see some of the teachers. Actually, two of the teachers aren't here. Oh, one of them just walked in. But this was just kind of a cool thing that happened. I had multiple parents tell me this. They came in for one of their big Bible classes. And my wife said the professor was awesome. But they were reviewing for their final exams in college at this big, Christian college, right? And so our kids sit in there, and so they were going over it. They signed up to just look at the class and say we were going over their quarterly exam, their final exams. And so the kids were asking questions for this final exam, right? All the college kids raising their hands. And then there's our high school kids, right? So our kids are used to answering questions and discussion time, right, at both the school and the church, right? Because that's what we do here. You guys can ask questions or you can comment. We let you do that, right? And so some of the kids were asking some of these hard questions that were going to be on the final exams. And so our kids just they just raise their hand and they start answering all the questions. What about John the Baptist? And then this and that, the other. This one would raise their hand, and then this one would raise their hand and give an answer, and then that one would raise their hand and give an answer. And so finally, what started happening, the professor said, this is like never happened before, where we've had tours come in, and they're answering all the questions. And what started happening is all the college kids started asking these hard questions, and what they would do, they would all turn around, and our kids would answer them. And the professor's like, this has never happened before. What school are you with? What? And even the teacher, one of the teachers was answering. So it was just an amazing time. The parents were like, wow, we were so proud of those kids. They were answering all the questions, especially the ones with the church and the school. It was just an amazing thing. And I just want to encourage you. You know how we hear God's word, won't return void? You hear that and you're like, yeah, got it. God's word won't return void. Let's go. God's word does not return void. It's accomplishing a purpose. So even for those of you who are teaching the word, for those of you who are sharing the word of God, it's getting in there and it's going out. And that college, they were blown away by our kids. And so I love hearing stuff like that. So I just wanted to encourage you, because that's the Lord, and say thank you for all the teachers and staff and everybody who pours in, the parents as well. Okay, praise the Lord, yes. Okay, we are in the book of James. Without further ado, let's jump right in. James chapter 1, the machine gun of the New Testament. We are jumping right in without review.
No review for you today.
So we have communion. Yes, Bibles. Thank you, whoever said that. If you need a Bible, Jolton Joe, Hezekiah, can you grab some Bibles, please, over here? If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and Jolton Joe will bring one over to you, and happy Hezekiah. We'll deliver one. I don't know. Just what I came up with. Helpful, Hezekiah? Is that better? We are in James chapter 1. Mr. Chris, could you grab that light just for a second so I can read? Chapter 1, verse 19. Jolton Joe and helpful Hezekiah. Yeah! We are in James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. All right? Can I get somebody just to read verse 19 through 27? Okay, you mind? One of you guys mind doing that, please? And we're going to give you the microphone, so if you don't want to talk to the microphone.
That's cool. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How far do you want me to go?
Keep going to the end of the chapter.
Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
All the way down.
All the way down.
Do you not merely listen to the word and so to deceive yourselves? Do what it says.
Yes.
Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at the face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whosoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves righteous and yet do not keep the tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves. Their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure as faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows and their distress and to keep on oneself from being polluted by the world.
Good job. Fantastic. Okay, so we're going to start in this first James chapter 1, verse 19, where it says this. It says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And you remember James, he doesn't mince words. Every other verse in the book of James is a command imperative. And so he's just like, doom, 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 one right after another. He's loving, but he's blunt. He gives you the truth. And I like that. I like somebody who's loving, right? But I want the truth. Because you could love somebody right into hell by not ever giving them the truth. Oh, I just love them. They need the truth. But then again, when you have the truth, it has to be given and loving, right? Because if not, it's like hitting somebody over the head with a mallet. You need both love and truth, and that's what James is doing here. So he's saying, listen, if God has given you this gift, if you are a born-again believer, if you've decided to give your heart and life over to our Lord Jesus Christ, if that's you, then God's going to start changing your heart, your thinking, your doings, your mind, what you do, what you say, how you think. He's going to start changing all of it from the inside out. You don't clean yourself up to God. Have you ever tried to do that? You know what? If you have, it doesn't work. God has to clean you up from the inside out. Lord, help me here. I need your help. I need your strength. I need this out of my life. And God will do it. And so he says to us, right? He says, everyone, if you're a born-again Christian, he's saying this to you, everyone, it starts off, should be quick to listen. Now, the first thing is, we should be quick to listen. And who's the first one that we should be quick to listen to? God. Realize, before you started following Jesus, you weren't quick to listen to God. In fact, to be honest, many of you didn't even want to listen to God. You'd be going about your life, la, 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 can't hear you, don't want to hear you, want to do my own thing, la, 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 la. God wants you to listen. You know, I saw this cartoon and I thought it was humorous. You know, we've got so many things vying for our attention. Dear God, how come I can never hear your voice? With the earplugs in, the TV, the computer, the monitor, relationships, things you've got going on. No wonder we can't hear from the Lord. We've got so much other things vying for our attention that we can't hear them. And I think about this too. I think about this in, Jesus would always say something. He would say when he was teaching, he who has an ear, let him hear. Do you remember that? Okay. That means there's going to be folks in right here, right now. Now, there's some of you, many of you, most of you that are listening intently because you want to hear from the Lord, right? When you come here, I want you to have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. Hey, somebody I said I would give a Bible to last week. I don't know if they're here, but you should have a pen, a highlighter, highlight stuff. It's okay to highlight your Bible. Write in it. Maybe I love marks, like it comes with a little pen or a little highlighter. I love to see pens in your hand. Some of you are taking notes. Love that. Underline. Can you see my Bible? I don't know if you can see this.
I don't know how you read it.
I love it. Cross references, a scripture that applies. Fantastic. It spoke to me. Wow, God, I want to hear that. I want to remember that for the future. Guys, come in expecting to hear God's voice. Because it's so easy to do this. He that has an ear, let him hear. And it goes one ear and out the other. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. What was the sermon about? Jesus, God, the Bible. I don't know. Sometimes you'll leave a teaching. Oh, that was such a good teaching. Somebody did this to me one time. That was such an exciting teaching. I was talking, this was when I was very young in the Lord. That was such an exciting teaching that the pastor's very dynamic. And the other guy said, hey, what was that teaching about? Now, this is right after the teaching. Do you know what? I had no idea what it was about. I just remember that the teacher or pastor was dynamic. So what is said here, what God is trying to speak to you, that's the important part. That's going to change your life. Not the pastor. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit bringing life into you. It's the washing of the water of the Word. So come expecting. Hear from the Lord. There's a really neat verse in Ecclesiastes, and I love this. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. And he says, go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you're on earth, so let your words be few. When you come to the house of God, when you come to worship, when you come, when you're sitting with your Bible in devotional times, right? It's good to talk to him. But it's more important to listen to what he has to say. Do you know what I'm saying? He wants to speak to you. Not only is that Ecclesiastes verse, but I've always loved this verse, and Jesus said it. This is in Luke. You guys may or may not know it. It's in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Jesus said, therefore, I want you, as he was teaching his people, I want you guys, his disciples, consider carefully how you listen. Are you really paying attention to what's being said? Are you just trying to get knowledge, or are you hiding it in your heart? Be careful how are you taking it into your life? Do you know what I'm saying? Are you really appropriating what God's saying? Because this is what he said, and this is sobering for me. This is kind of like, wow, Jesus said, whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Listen, God doesn't want you going one ear and out the other. He wants you listening, paying attention, asking him, what can I learn from you, God? How can I live for you more? That's his heart, right? But it also includes when it says in this James verse, 1:19, it says, everyone should be quick to listen. He's also talking about other people as well. Listen to this. Proverbs 18:13. To answer before listening, that is folly and it's shame. Some of us have big mouths. Now, maybe God's given you that big mouth. And he wants to use it at the right time. He's given me a big mouth. Some of you are like, hey, who said amen? But a lot of time when I'm in counseling, Gary can tell you, a lot of times we're doing just as much listening as we are talking. Because we have to hear the heart. That's the heartbeat. What is somebody saying? So to answer before listening, that's folly. You say, well, I just think it's this and that and the other. You're doing this, and I want you to do this. God wants you to do this. Listen. You have a walking parable on your head. Did you realize that? You do. You have got one mouth and two ears. He wants you to be listening more than he does you to be speaking. Besides, if you had two mouths right here, you'd be able to talk to both people on either side of you, and that would be really distracting. But anyway, he's given you this. So maybe you should be listening twice as much as you should be speaking. Listen to this next verse. This is a good one, too. Sorry, Chris. I'm going to keep you doing this. Listen to this next verse. This is a New Living Translation. It says it really good. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Listen, if you want to be wise, listen to those others who have walked before you, that know the Lord, who love the Lord, that aren't just talkers, but they're walkers. You can listen to those people. Get good, godly counsel. And then it says this in James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen. Oh, can I tell you one? I got so many stories. Oh, Lord, tell me not to tell these stories. But the bottom line is, and the number of times where I've tried to share something, somebody will be saying they have a problem in counseling, and they'll share it all, okay? And then I'll try to share this, is, and I'll share what the Word of God says. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. You're not listening to me. Oh, you don't know my situation. Oh, you don't know this. You don't know this. You don't know that. You don't know. And I have to sit there patiently because I think to myself, no, you don't know. If you would just, for a second, and listen, God could reveal some cool stuff to you. So listen. Okay? He goes on to say in this James verse, everyone should be quick to listen and then slow to speak. Now, that doesn't mean, Jen, when you talk to people, you speak like this. That's just going to drive people batty. The Bible means we need to be quick to listen, but also slow to speak. Proverbs 10:19 says this, and I like it. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Or, to be honest, I like how the New Living Translation says it even better, and it's more the language that I understand here. It says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Amen. You know what? I get that. That makes sense to me. Stop talking. Sometimes I'll be talking. I'm thinking to myself, what are you saying? Stop talking. Stop talking. Many times, we're not going to regret the things we didn't say. How many of us have shot our mouths off or have made assumptions, spoken too quickly, right? And then felt terrible. Raise your hand. Hey, look at that. Almost everybody except for Martha. There'll be a day. You won't regret what you don't say. Do you know what I'm saying? Most of the time, if you just use self-control, talk a little bit less, think about what you're going to say, pray about it, ask the Lord, Lord, do you really want me to say this? One of the reasons my wife refuses to let me on Facebook, I think I've gotten better, but she said you would have to answer every single thing. If somebody said something wrong, you'd feel like you had to. See, poor people, you've got me when I'm a little bit more mature in the Lord. But when I was younger in the Lord, sometimes somebody would come to me, and if they said 11 things, we'd have a three-minute conversation. Sometimes people would say 10 to 15 things wrong, and I feel like I got to address all 15 things. they're overwhelmed, they shut down, they bolt. Now sometimes folks will talk to me, I'll pick one thing. You know, maybe you should think about this or that. Just be slow to speak, quick to listen. The Bible says this too, and I like this is Proverbs 17:27. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, right? And whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Whoever has understanding is even-tempered. So be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then slow to become angry. I was with my son, Nehemiah, going to get Panera stuff for you guys last night. We were talking about getting angry. And he's 12, right? Okay. So, and he's like, you know, we're talking about being angry, and I was talking about sin. And he's like, Dad, actually, technically, being angry is not a sin. I said, you know what, son? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So you could, you're absolutely right, son. Okay, there is a righteous anger for things, right? If I saw somebody at lunch go up and start punching their girlfriend or something like that, I wouldn't be like, oh, praise the Lord, let me be patient here. That would should well up some anger in me, and I would go and defend that person, as would most of you, right? If I saw somebody slugging a kid, start punching, hey! There is righteous anger that can happen, okay? But most of the time, that's not what gets us in trouble. Can we just be honest here? Do you know what I'm saying? But it does happen, right? Even Jesus, Jesus in Mark chapter 3, verses 5, there was a time when the Pharisees were trying to trap him, and he came in and he healed this man with a withered hand, and it was an amazing thing. But he knew that they were all trying to get him. If you've been in situations like that when you're trying to do the right thing and people are trying to trip you up, it's not very fun. And it says that he, being Jesus, looked around at all these Pharisees who were trying to trip him up in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. There was another time where God's house is supposed to be a house where the word is being taught, where prayer is given to God. And in Jesus' time, they made it into a place to rip off people. Can you imagine if churches today were ripping off people? Isn't that happened today too? It's a terrible thing. And so Jesus, he's like, hey, that's righteous. Get out. This is my house. Father's house is a house of prayer. And he overturned the tables of the money changers. Now, here's the thing that I want you just to be aware of. That's righteous anger. Anyone who I've ever counseled in 25 years who has a temper problem, can I tell you the verse they always bring up? That one. Jesus overturned the money. So when I get mad at my kids and I'm throwing stuff around the house, it's the same. No, it's not the same thing. Listen, there's a time for that righteous anger, but the Bible says be sin not. Okay, I get it. Apart from the Lord, I have a horrible temper. Right? I used to be the kid, elbows through walls, fists through doors. You could ask my poor dad. We'd have posters and pictures that would hang where the drywall was busted, the wood was smashed. It was terrible. And so, but being angry in an unrighteous way doesn't show the Lord's heart at all. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? So you can be angry, but don't sin in your anger. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm really mad right now. I want to say some stuff to you. I know I can give you some zingers. Lord, I'm going to give that up to you right now. I'm going to go for a walk. Okay. Lord, I'm so mad. I want to take the thing. No. You can be angry and sin not. Cast your burdens on him because he cares for you. Listen to this. The Bible has some strong things to say. I actually had this alien mask that I was going to put on. We took the wrong car. But anyway, and I was going to say, this is what it looks like when you're losing your temper as a Christian it's alien. It's foreign to people. That they don't see what they should be seeing. Listen to what the Bible says, and this is serious stuff, okay, when it comes to anger. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. This is strong, right, in the New Living Translation. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Ouch. Or, and here's the or, you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Bad company corrupts good character. Well, you don't understand my husband, Pastor. You don't understand. I you know what? Those things might be true. You don't understand my wife. You don't understand my kids. You don't understand my school. You don't understand my job. You don't understand my finances. You don't understand my background. You don't understand the baggage I have. God understands those things. But here's what I'm here to tell you. God is bigger than your background. He's bigger than your fears. He's bigger than your kids. He's bigger than your husband. He's bigger than your wife. He's bigger than all those things. And his power can help you to have self-control in these situations. He can. I guarantee it. If you say, Lord, help and train me. It might take a bit, but he will. Listen to this. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who is hasty, who has a hasty temper, exalts folly. Or as the New Living Translation says, people with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. Now listen, I don't want to be a fool, seen as a fool. Now I can tell you, I honestly think there are some people that are just more peaceful than me. Like, they seem to come out of the chute a little bit calmer. Do you know those people? I really admire them. They just seem to be calmer. I'm not that type of person. The Lord has had to train me. Do you know what I'm saying? He's had to do a lot of work in me. And he's still working on me. You can ask my kids. He's still working on me. But we need to have that self-control. Proverbs 25:28 says, a person without that self-control is like a city with broken down walls. In the Old Testament times, right, in Israel, the wall was the only protection against the enemy, right? If you had a hole in that wall, right, a breach in that wall, the enemy could come in and out whenever he pleases. If you don't have that self-control and that anger, well, you don't understand, Pastor, they just ticked me off. Well, I understand that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So your God is greater than that. If you just allow that to happen, that's like a big old gaping hole in the wall. The enemy can walk into your life and walk out of your life and spread all kinds of disaster whenever he chooses. Stop it. Ask him for help. Beg him. Ask him to do whatever it takes in your life. Will you do that? Listen, and I know you struggle with anger, but God is bigger than that. He is. Confess it, repent. It's not okay. On the positive side, Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his own spirit is than he who takes the city. So we're cruising along. Verse 21, and then it says, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. If you struggle with anger, underline that verse. I haven't underlined. For a man or woman's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That's in verse 20. James chapter 1, verse 20. No, that is true.
No, and if you go back to where it says about listening and being slow,
oh, okay, okay, okay.
Stop. You yes. know, so that you can listen.
Yes.
When you're angry, you're constantly thinking about what you're going to say next.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not listening to what no. is being said.
Yes. Yeah. It's so true, isn't it? Goes on to say, therefore, this is what God says. He goes, I want you to get rid of all that moral filth, all that, the lust and the anger issues and all that, and the evil that is so prevalent, the Bible says, and humbly accept the word that is planted within you. I like that. So the King James is kind of funny here. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth. And I think it says, and the superfluity of naughtiness. Yeah. Is that what it says? Yeah. Sometimes I like the King James because it gives you a good punch of the word. And sometimes I don't know what it's saying. If Nick came to me and said, Pastor, I want to talk to you about your superfluity of naughtiness. I'm like, what are you even talking about, dude? My super what? But what it's saying here, he's just like, I want to just get rid of all that junk. How you used to live. Do you know what I'm saying? What you used to do. The lusts of your flesh. You know what that is. What the stuff is that doesn't honor God. Get rid of it. Dump it. I love this. Okay, so I made this slide, but I really like it. I don't know if this is the right, now that I'm thinking about it. But anyway, I made the slide, so I think it's good, so you may not. But get rid of it! Colossians 3:8 says, hey, Christian, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, dirty jokes from your lips. Get rid of it. This just reminded me of the girl that's dumping her boyfriend that's cheated on her 10 times. And get out. Get it out of the house. Dump it. The garbage that you've been keeping around, the stuff that you've been hiding in the cupboard, whatever it is. Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your house. Get it out of your life. Get rid of it. And it says you must do it. Not like, hey, it'd be a good idea. Dump it. There was a time in 1 Kings, there's a guy by the name of Elijah. And he was a really powerful prophet. And he came and he spoke to this guy, Elijah. And Elijah was a rich guy. He said he had to have oxen in those days plowing the fields, okay, back in Old Testament times, that was like having a big old tractor. You had some mucho dinero, okay? And so he had 12 yokes of oxen plowing all these fields. And Elijah said to him and saying, hey, God's calling you. Come follow me. And you know what it says that Elijah did? He says he actually took all that oxen. He said that he slaughtered the oxes. And he burnt the plows, and he gave all the food to all the people, because what he did was that he was getting rid of it. He was burning his old life, his old style, and he's like, I'm following the Lord now. Do you know what I'm saying? He burned the plows so he couldn't go back. He gave away the food, the oxen, to say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want it in my life. It's not who I am anymore. Same thing with you, Christian. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's not okay. Dump it. And I'm saying that to myself too. If you've been a Christian a long time, sometimes that stuff can sneak back into your life. Get it out. And it says, humbly receive. Humbly accept. Or some of your Bibles will say receive. I like that King James word there. Humbly accept or receive the word that's planted in you. And I love this verse in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which says, we also thank God because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as human words, but it actually is the word of truth, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. I love that. Receive God's word in that way. It's truth. It's refreshing to your bones. It's renewing to your spirit. Spurgeon said this about receiving God's word. He said, the first thing then is to accept or receive. The word receive is a very instructive gospel word. It's the door through which God's grace enters to us. We are not saved by working, but by receiving. Not by what we give to God, but what God gives to us and we receive from him. As we're getting saved, John 1:12 says, as many as received him, received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become sons of God, born again. And then it says to receive the word that's planted in you. And the picture I get, do you remember the in Mark where the farmer was scattering seeds? Do you remember that story? And Jesus told the story and he told this parable, and some fell on the ground and the birds of the air came and picked it up, right? You guys remember all that story? In Mark, and that was the people with a hard heart, and the enemy came and took the word right away from him. And then some had a shallow heart, and it planted on very shallow ground, so it sprung up quickly, but it didn't have a root. So as soon as persecution and that sun came out, it died because there was no root there. And that was the shallow heart. And then some had a crowded heart, right? Some started to grow, but then the things of the world, the desires of the world just choked all the fruit and the life out of it and choked it. That's the crowded heart. But then there was an open heart where it says that Jesus said that was the good soil. And it came up and it grew and produced a crop 30, 60, or 100 times. That's the word planted in you. Some of you, it's going to grow and God's going to bear fruit in your life. Let it happen. Don't let the weeds choke it out. That's the word being planted in you. It saves you. So not only does the word of God save you, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It also sanctifies you. As after you get saved, you need that continual word in you. Charles Stanley said this: God's grand plan is wrapped up in one word, sanctification. By God, for God, to radiate the character of God and the person of Jesus Christ. As you read the word, as you take it into your heart, God's making a change in you. That's what he is. That's what he does. Jesus put it this way. He said he was praying for us, and he said, sanctify them by their truth. Your word is truth. Stay in God's word. Then he goes on to say in James, he says, verse 22, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. What does that mean? What do you think that means? Don't really listen to the words. Do what it says. Seems pretty. Is that clear? Is it confusing to anyone? Oh, whoa. So you don't just listen. You got to live it?
Yes.
That's a little different story, right?
Walk out with a great feeling, and then comes Monday morning, you wake up and you go back to cussing and this and that and the other, and you're not trying to learn the scriptures, you're not trying to read any words that he says to apply it to your life like he wants you to.
Absolutely.
And my daughter and I, it's amazing that this is what you're teaching today, because this is what we have talked about all week long, not just listening to what you're saying and remembering, but also acting on what we're supposed to be
living,
how we're supposed to be living.
That's where the whole rubber meets the road. That's good. He goes on to say in verse 23, he said, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I fear we have many such in all congregation, admiring hearers, affectionate hearers, attached hearers, but all the while unblessed hearers, because they are not doers of the word. That's where you get blessed. And when it's talking about mirrors, imagine if you went right now and you're coming to church, most of you showered, I would imagine, right? Maybe some of you put on makeup, Nate, Gary, no. No, but you shave your beard, right? You put on your makeup, whatever you do to yourself, right? Now imagine if you're going and you see this big piece of spinach. You know, maybe you had a salad for breakfast, and it's just hanging from your teeth. And you come to church and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I was just walking out the door. Imagine if I came to church and I'm like, hi, Pastor Darren. The whole while there's that big piece of spinach hanging from my teeth. Wouldn't I look foolish? Wouldn't I look stupid? Now, what if I saw it and thought, oh, that would be so, and then just left it there and went to church. Hi, Pastor. Wouldn't that be dumb? In the same way as you listening to the word and not doing what it says. In the Old Testament times, mirrors actually were very valuable. We don't think about it because we all have mirrors, right? Back in those days, they used to be silver or bronze, and they would polish them up. So to have a mirror was like a big whoop-de-doo deal. Now to have a full standing mirror of polished silver or bronze, imagine how valuable that was. How dumb would it have been to have that kind of mirror Get yourself looking all right, prim, proper, right, looking good. And then just totally walk away and forget or not even bother to use it. Wouldn't that be stupid? In the same way, you have something incredibly valuable, more valuable than bronze or silver. This is the mirror that reflects your life. This is the only book that's going to read you as you read it. It's going to show you areas where you need to change. It's going to show you areas that you need to be encouraged in. It's going to show you areas that need to, that's the whole point. That's our God. To forget it and throw it away would be dumb. And then my favorite part. Gary, do I have five or should I shut it down and do the communion? We still have communion. I don't really know, Lord. All right. Let me do this last verse here, okay? Can I just do this last verse and then just have a short communion time, okay? Listen to this, guys. Okay? Verse 25. It says, but the man or woman who looks intently unto the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what is heard but doing it, he will be blessed, or she. Listen, here's what the Bible says, if you can get that. Thanks, Chris. Okay, listen. Here's what it says. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be a blessed doer of the word, here's what you need to do. I would underline it in your Bible if you do that kind of thing. In verse 25, it says, but the man or woman who looks intently. The word in Greek is perikoupto. And it actually means, you're like, what is that? Who cares? It actually means, I got a slide. It actually means to stoop down, to examine something, almost like Sherlock Holmes. You know, you might see him with the magnifying glass looking for clues. When the Bible says to look intently, it's not just a cursory reading of it. Blah, 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 okay. He's like, I want you to look at it, think about it, meditate on it, stoop down, examine it. That's the word here. So he's like, if you want to be a blessed doer of the word, that's what I want. It's some work. There's some action in it. We live in a time where, well, I don't want to do nothing. I just want to sit in front of Netflix. Feed me. Look, you got a mine for some of this stuff. This is treasure. This is like more precious than gold. And the reason why he wants you to mine it out of the scriptures, so you can say it's mine. Do you know what I'm saying? If you mine something yourself and you do the word and God speaks to you, it's mine. These are action words. He wants you to look intently at it. Listen to this. Searching for God's word. It's an action word. This is in Jeremiah 15, 16. Your words were found and I ate them. And your words became for me joy and the delight of my heart. It's an action word. I found, I'm looking, I'm finding. He says, study to show thyself approved. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed of the word of God. Study. That's an action word again. That means you got to do some digging, some work on it. Listen to this one. I have hidden your word in my heart. I've taken time to apply it to my life. It's an action word. Do you get it? It's intent. There's intent behind it. It's purposeful. And then it goes, and it gives freedom. It says in your Bible, and that's the next thing, the number two thing. You look intently into the perfect law. That gives freedom. It's purposeful. You don't just get it to get more knowledge. You get it to become free. God wants to free you of those sins that are holding you back. Psalm 119:45 says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts, your word, your commands. I've sought them out. I've looked for them. You know, read a chapter a day. It keeps the enemy at bay, and read two or more will keep them out of the, kick them out of the door. Take time. Read through the Psalms. Read through the Proverbs. Read through a gospel. The spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. God said, the words I've spoken to you are full of spirit and life. As you read it, picture Jesus just blowing life into those words, into your heart, into your mind, giving you understanding. supernaturally. That's what he's doing. Jesus said in John 8, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then it says in James that you continue to do it. That same verse. So you look intently because it gives freedom, and then it continues to do it. The word is persevering in the Greek. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's day and night. Psalm 1, 1 to 2 says, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. I'm chewing on it like a cow chews on his cud. I'm thinking about it. It's persevering. I keep doing it. It's not just a one-time thing. And not forgetting. I don't know about you, but I don't even know if this is a word, but I've got a tremendous forgettery. I don't think it is a word. Somebody will correct me on that. But I forget a lot. I need to be purposeful and remember this last verse. Proverbs 4, 21 to 22 says, don't ever forget my words. Keep them always in mind. They're a key to life for those who find them, and they bring health to the whole body. And Psalm 119, 92, and 93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. And then lastly, you'll be blessed, the Bible says, by doing it. And I'll leave you with this, and then Gary, you can just close us out in communion and prayer. He says this, guys, and I love this verse in Joshua 1:8, and Mark will like this because it's the NASB, and that's his favorite translation. The book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. And that means just think about it. Think on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It's not just a hearer. It's a doer of the word. Does that make sense, everybody? All right. Gary, would you close us out in communion and prayer, please?
Please turn to Matthew 26. And Chris, if I can have light, please. Matthew 26, and we're going to begin with verse 17. And it's a passage that we all know. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And when they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth. One of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, yes, it is you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, for which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Then they had sung a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives. When we do the Lord's Supper, it's often a similar message. And so I asked the Lord what he would have us emphasize today. And he led me to the passage right before, the verses right before and right after this. Now, if you turn back to Matthew 26, beginning with verse 14, right, you'll see the passage, and it talks about Judas agreeing to betray Jesus. If you go right after, in the beginning of verse 31, Jesus predicts Peter's denial of Jesus. Thank you, John. Now, you might think that that's kind of a strange passages to put right around the Lord's Supper. And yet, if you think about it, there's been times in my life when we were going to have communion and I felt like I really wasn't worthy to come before communion. My life certainly didn't reflect somebody who was following exactly the way the Lord would have me follow. And yet, that's what this passage, I think, is all about. Jesus knew that Judas had betrayed him. Right? He called it out right in the passage here. He knew that Peter would deny him three times within just a very few hours. He tells us that we don't come to the communion table because of our goodness, because we're perfect and following him. We come for the forgiveness of sins. We need to come to the table because of his grace. We need to come to the table to be reminded of his grace, that without him, we are not perfect. Without him, we do not have a relationship with the Lord. And so now I'd invite you to take a moment in prayer. Thank the Lord for his grace. Thank the Lord for his forgiveness. Ask him to help you live the message that we heard today, that we should be not only hearers of the word, but we should be doers of the word. Again, thank him for his grace.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Jennifer.
We're going to sing this song again with a couple of extra words. In light of communion, God inspired a couple extra verses to this song.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the air I breathe.
You are. For you.
This is the cup of Christ.
This is the cup of Christ. This is the cup of Christ. His very blood
poured out.
Poured out
for me. Christ is the living bread.
Christ is the living bread. Christ is the living bread.
His very life.
His very life.
God, let us be a changed people, Lord. Let us look on the sacrifice that our Savior made for us, Lord, and not only be thankful, but in our thankfulness be a changed people, Lord. Let us carry your presence with us as we go about the world, Lord, so that others may see a change in us, Lord, and that when they ask, we might be able to give you glory. We might be able to explain to them the way of salvation and how you change lives, how you go above and beyond the world that we live in here, Lord. We thank you so much. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his body, his blood, our salvation. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
I just want to, you know, we talked about, you know, like, don't do it, it's wrong, and this other stuff, but I just feel like the Lord was just telling me, you know, there may be some ladies in here that has already done this in the past, you know, that there is peace and there is forgiveness. The Lord can provide for that, to not be condemned at that this point in time, that we can move on. You can move on from this. Right, and I just feel like we needed to add that with everything else.
At the very end of that song, God was saying, well, yeah, you need to share that. You need to share that testimony. So about the last month, he has been bringing all kinds of things to the surface in my life. Some of the ugliest things that I've never known about me that have been in there, that have been... have tried to come back. I don't know. I've talked to some counseling in the church, and somebody said he's refining me. Refining, I think that's what she said. But anyway, it's been so hard and ugly. But the minute it comes to my mind, I'm so thrilled. It's like surf scooping off the top of a soup, that all the crap has come up and you're skimming it off. And it's really been hard because it's just me and him, and it's ugly. It's real ugly. And I'm saying, I've been a Christian this long. What's going on? Why am I still going through this? I don't even know, really. But I just know he's in control and he's in my life, and I'm I'm excited what he's doing. So if this is going on in anyone else's life, be happy and go for it with him. Amen.
Jerry, let me add one thought. You're right. There's ugliness that the Lord takes out of our life, and that, but it turns it to beauty. There's beauty that comes after that. And that's his promise. And that. So let's go forth and share the beauty that the Lord is putting in each of us. And that. We'll see you all next week.
I'm desperate for you.